Welcome to the LifePoint Palm Bay Sermon Podcast. We encourage you to make copies of this message, but please don't charge for those copies. If you'd like to know more about LifePoint Palm Bay, please visit lifepointpb.com.
Thank you. I want to also take a second just to say thank you so much for your prayers. The last time I was here, I had just been diagnosed with cancer and was beginning my treatments, and I look you in the eye and say, praise the Lord, I am cancer-free right now. So, praise the Lord. It was a journey and a half, but at the same time, it was a miracle because I went through a lot of chemo and a lot of radiation, but at the same time, the way in which the cancer went away was miraculous. And the amount of tumors that I had and the size, I wasn't diagnosed until the end of April, and by the end of October, I had nothing. But here was the big thing. The reason I even found out I had cancer was because the pain had gotten so bad that I finally went to see my doctor. You know, guys, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, it'll go away. It'll go away. The pain started actually January 17th. I knew what day it started because it was pretty bad. But I figured, no big deal. It'll go away. It wasn't until the end of April that I realized I better go see my doctor. And they quickly found out that I had tumors all over my body. The pain that got me to go see the doctor was excruciating. But from the moment that we announced to the church, and when I say the church, all the churches around the country and across the globe that I have the privilege of preaching to, the moment we, through Facebook and many other ways, got the word out that I had cancer, that from that moment, I never had another pain. It went away instantly. And thank the Lord. Even before I started the chemo, my chemo doctor was saying, is the chemo helping with the pain? I said, doctor, the pain was gone before you even started. And I just want to tell you folks, prayer does make a difference. Amen. And I've been blessed to have so many people praying for me. So I hope you pray for me some more, though, just as I've enjoyed it. I really have. Life has been pretty good. But at the same time, pray that God would be able to use me these next 3 weeks as we deal with this message on relationships. I'm excited about it, but I can get so excited that I take over and I don't want to take over. I want the Lord to be the one doing the talking. So as I was driving here this morning, I like to do stuff to keep myself interested while I'm driving, and so I decided to make the car in front of me disappear. So I just held my thumb up, and it was gone, and I told myself, I'm so big and powerful, my thumb is bigger than that car. Actually, go ahead and do that. Put your thumbs up here, and you can make me disappear if you want to. Some of you are enjoying this too much. Actually, I told you which figure to use because I wanted everybody to give me a thumbs up. Plus, I didn't want any of you picking which finger you wanted to use, so at the same time, I share that with you for a reason. What God wants to do through this series is change our perspective and how we see things. See, because when you held your thumb up and made me disappear, from your perspective, your thumb was bigger than me. Is that the truth? No. When you actually bring it up here, you'll find out I'm quite a bit bigger than your thumb. God wants us to change our perspective on the people around us. He wants us to line up our perspective with the truth of the Word of God and who Jesus really is. And from there, it's going to change how we see everybody else. We view people around us as Christians or as non-Christians, people in the world, people we know, people we don't know, people at work, people that we love in our family or have trouble with in our family. We have a perspective on everyone around us that's ours. God wants your perspective to be His. And that's where we're going to be going in this week and next and the next as we take a look at relationships. Now, I have been accused of using the whole Bible to preach one sermon. I understand that, but that's not true. But we are going to start in Genesis chapter 1. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to lay our foundation this morning from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. It says, then God said, let us, by the way, that us is going to be important later on. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, He created him. Would you pray with me? Father, as we take this time now to allow your word to speak to us and to open our eyes to see your perspective. Father, I thank you that I don't have to try to convince anybody of anything today, but that your word is powerful all by itself. All I can do is just read the passages and walk out of here, and you will have accomplished something today. But Lord, you also use the foolishness of preaching to accomplish your purposes. And so, Lord, today I just rest in the fact that you have a purpose and you want to accomplish it. And so I just say thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we see that in Genesis chapter 1, that God created man in his own image. In the likeness of God, he created male and female. Men and women were both created in the image of God. Actually, the Bible tells us that that should have an effect on how we treat each other. The fact that mankind was made in the image of God. Go to James chapter 3. Let me show you what I'm talking about. The Bible tells us that the fact that man was made in the likeness of God should affect how we treat each other. James chapter 3, look at verses 7 through 9. James says, "For every kind of beast and bird and of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." He goes on and says, this shouldn't be. But actually, again, the Bible, remember back in Genesis 1, God made man in his image, gave him dominion over the animals, and he said, you know, we can't tame all the animals, but taming our tongue is a problem. It's something man can't do. Don't miss that as well. It's going to be important later on. Man can't control and tame the tongue. And he then goes on and he says, here we are, we can bless God with our same tongue that we curse man who's been made in the image of God. Now, one of the reasons why we have a problem, and it's easy for us to have a problem with mankind and to maybe not treat each other like they were made in the image of God, is because probably a lot of us look around and say, I don't see the image of God. I mean, look around. Do you see a lot of God around you? Be careful, because you might be sitting next to your wife. Well, part of the reason is a lot of that image of God has been lost. Go back to Genesis, but go to chapter 3 this time. You're going to see that even though Adam and Eve were created in God's image, I believe the Bible shows that they had a glory. The Bible says that they were naked and felt no shame. I think that they had a Shekinah glory. If you remember back when Moses hung out with God, remember he was just up on the mountain with God for 40 days when God gave him the commandments? And during that time, just the glory of God started to reflect onto Moses to the point that his skin began to shine. Then when he came down from the mountain, he had a glow that freaked everybody out. I believe the Bible teaches that, and I don't have time to preach that sermon. That's another whole message using a whole rest of the Bible again. But at the same time, I believe Adam and Eve had a glow and a Shekinah glory like God has. So much so that even though they were naked, it wasn't really that noticeable that they were naked because they had this glow and this glory. As you're about to see, though, the moment that they disobeyed God and broke his commands, they lost some of his image. Well, Genesis 3 reads this way, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done? This that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He, that's interesting, it's a singular, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." We see what happened all of a sudden is even though they were made in the image of God, the image of God was kind of marred, was mostly lost. Now we know that mankind is still in the likeness and the image of God because that's why James said we still need to understand they were made in the image of God. We can't just say, hey, well, because of sin, we don't have to treat them good anymore because they've lost God's image. No, James tells us that they still are in his likeness. But the image has been hard for us to see, and the glory of God has been hard for us to see because of sin. And actually, part of the reason is, and I'm going to head somewhere that's going to make some of you uncomfortable. Part of the reason is because when we sin and when we choose to disobey God, we start looking more like Satan than we do God. Go to John chapter 8. These aren't my words. John chapter 8, look at verses 39. And following. Jesus had just said that their father was the devil. They answered in verse 39 of John chapter 8, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I'm here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you're not of God." Go to Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verses 1 and following. Paul says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved." Now, don't miss this. Mankind was made in the image of God, and they still are. But it's been hard to see because of sin. And because of sin, mankind and we ourselves, before Christ made us alive, have walked like Satan more than we have like God. And that's probably why it's easy for us to not see the image of God in mankind around us. But the Bible says you need to keep in mind, man was still made. Men and women were both made in the image of God. And that needs to affect how we treat each other. And yes, that image was marred because of sin, but there's good news. I don't know if you caught it there at the end of chapter 3 in verse 15. God says, "I'm going to put enmity between you, serpent, Satan, and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." He, did you catch that? He is going to crush your head. And I'm giving the sound guy trouble, so I'm going to back up a little bit here. He is going to crush your head. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. See, all's not lost. Yes, the image of God has been lost a little bit, or marred. Hard to see, but the Bible says that it's possible for that image to be made new again. And as I'm going to show you in just a little bit, even better than new, but I run ahead of myself a little bit. Go to John chapter 1. Remember, if you are apart from God because of your sin, and you've never been made right through faith in Jesus Christ, as we've sung about today, you still are of your father, the devil. You're walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world who's in control right now for a season. Folks, if you are here today and you don't know God through faith alone in Jesus Christ I love you, and I want you to hear this truth. You're not a good person. Some of you parents have kids that are away from the Lord, and you'll say, but Bobby's a good boy. The scripture says Bobby's lost if he doesn't know Jesus. And his father is the devil. And he's living according to the prince of the power of the air. But it doesn't have to stay that way. God, even when Adam and Eve sinned, already had the plan to reconcile man to himself, to get us back into the full glory of his image. And I'm going to show you even a little bit better. And his plan was that that offspring of the woman, that individual, that he, was going to defeat Satan. In John chapter 1, we get a little bit more information. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Remember, let us make man in our image. God has always existed in three persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus the Son was there at the moment of creation. Actually, keep reading. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Oh, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We know him as John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. But the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jews, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of who? Isn't that cool? They were children of Satan. But they had the right now, through faith in Jesus, to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, that's Jesus again, he became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. That's interesting. God who is at the side of God has made known who God was. Anybody got that? Who was the God that was at the side of God that made known God? Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word created everything, and the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. Folks, listen to me. There's good news in Genesis chapter 3. We hear Genesis 3 as this horrible story of mankind losing the image of God and the glory of God and being separated from God, and yes, it's true, but God, before the foundation of the world, had already planned a way to bring it all back. And in Genesis chapter 3, you see the first gospel. He's going to crush Satan's head. Oh, Satan may bruise his heel, but he's going to crush Satan's head. And he became flesh, and he revealed the glory of God, and we've seen his glory. Go to John chapter 3. Look at verses 16 through 21. Here's Jesus himself trying to explain some of this to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And he said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God, of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Now, don't miss that last verse. When someone comes to the light, and someone comes, by the way, who's the light? Jesus. When someone comes to Jesus, it'll become evident that his obedience and his faith have been done by who? By God, by Jesus himself. Now, we're going to deal with that in a lot more detail next week. Put a little bookmark there, mark that verse, because next week we're going to deal with the fact that what God wants us to do and how we live in our relationships with each other has to be empowered by God himself, or else it's not real. And we're going to deal with that in more detail next week. But for today, I want you to just stick with me here. Mankind have been made in the image of God. By the way, even the people that don't know him, they still have been made in his image. And they need to be treated like they were made in his image. Yes, the image has been marred and it's hard for us to see. And yes, because of sin, all of us have for a time, and some are still in that condition, have been children of Satan because we chose to listen to him instead of God. I listen to God for the most part. Bible says you have to be perfect at it or else you're a child of Satan. But good news is all is not lost. God had prepared a way for us to become his children again through faith in the one who came to take care of Satan. How did he do it? He did what you and I could not do. He lived in this life and he lived in a body just like yours and mine without sin. And then God punished him instead of us. And then he rose from the dead by his own power to show that he has life, control over life and death, spiritually and physically. And what did he himself say? Don't miss this. We've always pictured John 3:16 as Jesus standing on a hill with his arms open. For God so loved the world. But is that the context? It was at night in the dark with a Pharisee. Man thought he was cool with God, thought he was righteous, but he wasn't. And God himself came down and had a conversation in the dark. I picture, Troy, that he was probably knee to knee with him. They didn't have lights like that, like we do nowadays. They're in a garden somewhere, and it was probably so dark that they had to kind of sit this close to see each other. And when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world, he sent his only son," it was one-on-one. "For God so loved the world, he sent his only," well, he sent me, Jesus said, "so that you would have eternal life." Isn't that cool? Listen to me. You're here today, and you don't know him. He's seeking you out. He's not offering it to the masses. Yes, he is, but it's not just that. If somebody's heart is pricked today, it's Jesus himself coming to you knee to knee and saying, "You need this." Every one of us in here that knows this salvation experience, knows that we've been made right with God and we've become children, we could take you back to when he said, "You need this." And we trusted him as our Savior. Now, here's where I want to tell you the great news. We, through faith in Jesus Christ, don't just become his children again and some of that mar of sin has been removed. It's an even better relationship than Adam and Eve had. You say, how can it be better? Well, let me explain it to you by taking to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I lied. Go to John 14. We'll go there first. John chapter 14. Look at verses 15 through 20. Jesus has just had his Last Supper with his disciples. He's already washed their feet. He's about to go to the cross. They're about to leave where they are. They're on their way to the garden. And he's intensely teaching his disciples about what's about to happen to them because of his death and his resurrection. And in John chapter 14, look at verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him." Oh, you know him, for he dwells with you, but he's going to be where? He's going to be in you. Remember, God said, "Let us make man in our image." At that time, it was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus says, I've been revealing to you who the Father is. He's just said in the early part of John chapter 14, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." But he says, now, if you believe in me, that's to obey his commands, to believe in who he is. I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you a helper to be with you forever. And that's the promised Holy Spirit. I love verse 16. It says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Remember how the Bible just said in John chapter 1 that whoever believed in him, whoever received this salvation, becomes children of God, born of God. As he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. When we become, through faith in Jesus Christ, children of God, we become born again spiritually. We're alive now spiritually. And God says, I'm not going to give birth to you and then leave you on your own. That's an orphan. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to come to you. And in a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And in that day, you'll know that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Now, which is it? Hang on a second, Jesus. You just said that you're going to ask the Father, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. Yet now you're saying, you're going to be in us. So which is it? Is the Holy Spirit come to indwell you, or does Jesus come to indwell you? Good answer. Actually, you get all three. Listen to what he said there. On that day, you're going to realize that I'm in my Father, Jesus said, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Now, that makes us swim a little bit. I understand that. So I've got a visual aid. And I want you to make your own, because this will help you a lot. I have an envelope. And on it, I put my name, Jim Johnson. The Bible says that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, came to indwell me. So Jesus is now inside of Jim Johnson. Oh, but it's better than that. Jesus said, in that day you realize I'm in the Father and you're in me. So now, not only is the Holy Spirit inside of Jim Johnson is inside of Jesus. See it? Oh, and in that day you realize that I'm in my Father. And Jesus is inside God. Where are you and I right now? We're swimming in God, aren't we? We got him outside us, inside us. That's your baptism. The word baptized means to put into. When you trust Christ as your Savior and he seals the deal with his Spirit, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit at the moment that you're saved. That's when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You are put into him. He's put into you. You've been dunked in Jesus. Oh, by the way, what's Satan got to do to get anywhere near me? He's got to go through quite a gauntlet, doesn't he? Oh, folks, stop sitting around thinking as a child of God that Satan's messing with you. If he's messing with you, the Father's giving him permission. He can't even touch you without asking. Jesus says, in that day, you're going to realize that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. We'll get to that more next week, but I don't think any of us really realize that yet. You know how I know? We'd act differently if we really believed it. We'd treat each other differently if we really believed it. But that's next week. Go to Ephesians 1 now. Look at verses 13 and 14. For this reason. Sorry, I'm reading verse 15. I told you read verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14 says, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. When you believed in Jesus, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. He came to indwell you, and you've been sealed as a guarantee. Remember Jesus said, I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send you a helper to be with you. How long? Forever. By the way, keep that word helper in mind. It'll help you next week. The Bible says, though, that we not only are born again, but that Jesus himself comes to indwell us. Now, you say, okay, I'm with you still. I understand that, I think. But what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. Turn over to Colossians. You're in Ephesians. Just jump over two books to Colossians and look at chapter 2. Look at verses 6 through 10. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Who's in you? Jesus. And in him is what? All the fullness of the deity. Actually, go back to Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse 15. He is the what? The image of the invisible God. Don't miss this. You and I were made in the image of God. Jesus is the image. You see the difference? You and I were made in his likeness. We're not God. We're like God in many ways. We have some attributes of God, but we're not God. But when you become born again through faith in Jesus Christ, God himself comes to indwell you. And no longer are you now in the image of God. The image of God is in you. I'm going to say that again. I want you to hear this. No longer are you in the image of God. The image of God is in you. Well, should that not affect how we treat each other? Because when that truth starts to really sink in, it will have an effect on how I look at everybody around me now. I first have to understand who I am, and because of Christ, what my situation is. But from that point on, I need to then, keeping that in mind, that this is a spiritual realm that we're in, not a physical realm. Yes, we may see the physical, but there's a spiritual realm beyond. I need to then look at other people with that same mindset. And the best way I can explain it to you is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some of you are saying, he must be almost done. We're almost to Revelation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verses 14 and following. Paul says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, I'm going to keep reading in just a second here, but some of you might not understand what it means when he says we don't regard anybody according to the flesh anymore. We used to regard Jesus according to the flesh, but we don't do that anymore. In other words, Paul says, we used to think Jesus was just a man. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples? They knew he was from God. Even Nicodemus said, we know you're from God because no one could do the things you do unless God were with him. But he thought he was just a man. I remember when they were in the boat with Jesus and Jesus just spoke to the water and it stopped and the wind and they said, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. We thought he was just a man. We thought he was a pretty important man. We thought he might have been a prophet. We definitely thought he was from God, but we didn't fully understand that he was more than just a man. He was God. We used to look at Jesus according to the flesh. We don't do that anymore. Therefore, we should no longer regard anybody according to the flesh. We need to see them as either in Christ or a child of the devil. Now, again, be careful. It's not up to us to determine who's saved and who's not. But if someone clearly rejects Christ, guess who they belong to? Should we get mad at them when they act like their father? No. Actually, when you understand you who you used to be before Jesus saved you, it'll set you free from getting angry at the people who are acting like you used to act.
And on top of that, you hopefully will now understand that person who doesn't know God, who doesn't have the power of God within them, who've not been born again, who is a child of Satan and an object of wrath, you need to understand they're doing the best they can. Why would they be so mean? Why would they be so wicked? Why would they be so evil? They're doing the best they can. Because if Jesus says to us who are his children, apart from me, you can do nothing, they can do nothing. So we as Christians need to stop looking down our nose at those who don't know Jesus and judging them as if we're better than them. No, we were like them. But God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive. And we want them to experience the same thing. We don't look at anybody according to the flesh anymore. And I'm going to get into this in a lot more detail next week. We also should no longer look at our brothers and sisters in Christ according to the flesh anymore. Because if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. But just as you've not fully manifested the glory of God yet, right? Those of you who've been born again hopefully don't think you're there. Even though you have been born again, you're in the sanctification process where you are being transformed from glory to glory. It's growing, hopefully, over time. But in the same way in which you are in a process, so is your brother and your sister, so is your wife, so is your husband, so are your children. And we need to now learn how to look at each other, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And we're going to learn next week how to appropriate this power that lies within us. But what we want to do today is I want to conclude with one more passage. And I think I can make this promise. One more passage. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Start in verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you're true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you're not swayed by appearances." By the way, if anybody starts anything off that nice, take your shoes off. Might be too late to save those, but you can at least pull your pants up. "Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test?" By the way, is Jesus looking according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? He's seeing the spiritual realm. He's seeing what's really going on. "And aware of their malice, said, 'Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax.' And they brought him a denarius, and Jesus said to them, 'Whose likeness and inscription is this?' They said, 'Caesar's.' Then he said to them, 'Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away." Now, some of your translations don't say whose likeness, they say whose image. Either's good. They brought him a coin, and it had Caesar's image on it. And he said, "Whose image is this?" "Caesar's." "Well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God's." I'm going to ask you a question, and this question goes to both sides in this room today, those who are in Christ and those who are outside of Christ. For those of you that are here today who don't know Jesus, who have not been born again yet, through faith in Christ, you're still trying to get to heaven on your own good works. Let me ask you this question. Whose image were you made in? Give to God what's God's. Oh, for those of us who are born again, who have passed from death to life because of Jesus, who are no longer children of the devil, we've been set free from the power of sin. We are now born again, children of God, sealed by the Spirit of God, and his image is the image of God is in us now. We're no longer in his image. His image is in us. Whose image is in you? then you give to God what's God's. See, we can get all caught up in the paying taxes or not. Some of you are playing, oh, is Jim going to say whether or not I have to file? No, ignore that part. Just give to the government what's the government's. But give to God what's God's. And if you were made in His image and you've never been born again, the only way you can be right with God is if you give Him what's in His image. That's yourself. And if you have been born again and you are a child of God through Jesus Christ, His image is now in you. You need to give on a daily basis what's His to Him. And learn how to walk in the Spirit. We'll deal with that next week. There was a man named Danny Simpson. In 1990, he robbed a bank in Ottawa, Canada. He had planned it for a while. He actually went to the bank every single day for a week. Kind of scoped it all out. And then he decided it was the time to do it, and he went to his parents' house where he was living, and he took a gun from his parents' house, and he went to this bank, and he robbed it. He got $6,000. Went back to his house a couple days later, the police show up and arrest him. They're like, how did you know? They said, actually, you may not know this, Danny, but there's video cameras in the bank that are running all the time, and we have video of you being there every single day for a week, just kind of checking things out. And when you came in, even though you were disguised, we recognized it was you from all the weeks of video. Oh, but we also found something else out while we were looking at the video that you might find interesting, Danny. You robbed the bank and got $6,000, but the gun that you used, we have that on video too. And we've looked into the video and we found out that the gun you used was a 1918 45 caliber pistol worth well over $100,000. And because it's been used in a felony, it can never go back to its rightful owner. We now take that gun and it's in a museum in Canada. This man robbed a bank and got $6,000 using a gun that was worth over $100,000. Kind of stupid, isn't it? He made a horrible decision because he didn't know what was available to him right there. Many of us live like Danny Simpson every day. We have no idea what is ours through Jesus Christ. I want to be used this week by God, not this week, but next week and the next week, to help you change your perspective to God's perspective, so that we would make right decisions according to the knowledge of all that's available to us. Would you stand? Father, you know what you want to accomplish in this series. You know what you have in mind to accomplish today. And in this time of response, we just simply yield ourselves to what you have in mind. Father, show us where we stand with you. If we're a child of the devil and we've been deceived into thinking we're okay, help us to see that truth today. Come see us knee to knee like you did Nicodemus and say, this is for you. And Father, for those of us who have been born again, who have passed from death to life, who have the image of God within us, we're swimming in God, yet we live our lives in our own flesh, according to the flesh. We treat ourselves, not just the people around us, according to the flesh instead of according to the Spirit. Father, today begin to excite us about what is to come. Bring us back next week to understand a little bit more what it means to take full advantage of what is ours through this indwelling of Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, the sealing of the Spirit, the Helper. Father, we've lived many of our days as orphans, like He gave us life, but we're on our own. We're doing our best. Lord, take us to where you want us to go. And Lord, may it have an effect on our relationships. I know it will, because your word says that that's one of the first things that's going to be seen, is how we treat each other. So Lord, I just step back now and just simply say, I'm not going to try to manipulate or coerce or try to accomplish anything, because I don't know what you're doing in people's lives. I know what you're doing in mine, and I need to yield to that. May we all yield to what it is you're saying to us during this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can I ask my prayer partners just to come to the front right now, if you just come join me up here? And as we close this morning, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? If you've been around me very long, you know that I have a strong belief that it's not just hearing the truth that changes us and transforms us. It's a response to that truth. And this morning, we want to be able to help you. We want to walk with you in that journey, to pray with you about anything that God's doing in your life. If you don't know Jesus or you're not sure you have a relationship, let us pray with you about that. We'd love to. No judgment, no condemnation. As Jim said this morning, every person in this room was in that place at one time where we didn't know Jesus. If you're not sure, don't leave today without knowing. Let one of our prayer partners pray with you. If you do know Jesus and you're just wrestling, you're struggling, maybe even with the message this morning, let us pray with you. Let us walk with you on that journey. It's our privilege to be able to do that. Lord, we ask you to do what only you can do. And Lord, right now we open our hearts and we respond. We respond to you and the truth that you have spoken. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.